Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Andrew Egger with The Bulwark. You might have noticed there is a lot of anxiety around the economy right now. A lot of warning lights flashing on various economic dashboards. A lot of people telling a lot of pollsters that they're worried about prices, that they're worried about jobs, that they're worried about a lot of different things. One person who at least says he is not worried about any of that stuff at all, President Donald Trump. In fact, Donald Trump has taken recently to telling people that he thinks all of that stuff, all of that economic anxiety, all of those warning signs and things like that, that's all kind of just some fake nonsense cooked up by a conspiracy against him, a conspiracy to make people think the economy is a lot worse than it is.
It's such a rigged system. So are you ready? Costs are way down.
I'm joined with Will Salatan, who has a whole laundry list of times and places that Donald Trump has been making this case recently. How you doing today, Will? What's going on?
Well, I'm doing fine, Andrew, but like Donald Trump thinks I'm doing better than I think I'm doing, and he thinks everybody's doing a little better than they do. You know, we're all familiar with Trump being delusional about stuff like the 2020 election, and obviously not enough Americans cared about that delusion. It wasn't relevant to them, but it's a little different when the delusion is that you, Mr. and Mrs. America, are feeling better than you actually are, which is kind of where we are right now. I mean, we had the elections last week, New Jersey, Virginia, et cetera, and the Republicans lost. And what's happened since then is friendly anchors, like Fox News anchors, have been trying to get Trump to acknowledge, like, people are unhappy with the state of the economy and what he's going to do about it, what the Republicans are going to do about it. And he's not taking the bait, Andrew. So this started last week, the day after the elections. Bret Baier gets him in an interview and asks Trump, you know, what about losing these elections and people seem to be unhappy? Here's what Baier asked.
You said that the shutdown and your name not being on the ballot were big factors. You're the head of the party. So obviously the policies are run on in these states. Do you see that at all, or how do you read it?
Well, I do, because, you know, we've done so much. You know, energy is way down. Look at energy. We're going to have $2 gasoline. I did that. That brings everything else down. Groceries are way down other than beef.
Andrew, $2 gasoline. First of all, are you paying $2 for gas? Do you know anybody who's paying $2 for gas?
My very basic understanding is that gasoline is actually a little cheaper than it was. This is like my, you know, I feel like I'm not spending as much to pay at the pump as I used to. But I feel like that is one very tiny indicator in sort of a sea of more troubling ones. I like it when he says that energy is way down. I mean, he does this a lot, right? I mean, he means gas. He means gas is down. Gas is cheaper. Energy, you know, more broadly speaking, is actually like sort of a big warning sign right now. It's one of those things I was talking about before with all of the electricity that, you know, AI is starting to suck up around the country. These grids are getting overburdened everywhere. People's, you know, home electrical bills are starting to spike. Nevertheless, Donald Trump continues to say that energy is way down. What else do you got for us here?
Well, you know, first of all, on the energy thing, I paid just the barest attention to the election in New Jersey. It was all about energy prices. People's electrical bills are out of control, right? And like for Trump to say like, hey, everything's great on energy. First of all, the average price in the United States for a gallon of gas is $3. It's not $2. It's not. And Trump's been saying for a while it's $2. But the killer to me is when he says groceries are way down. I mean, look, the economic data is groceries are up, depending on how you count, 2.5% to 3%. since Trump became president. Well, since his election, right? So like, he's just wrong about the numbers. It's just a degree of denial that's like, you're president. Okay. So you don't buy things for yourself anymore, but like you need to be able to relate to people. But let me go a little bit further, because after that interview, a few days later, this week, Laura Ingraham, another Fox News host, decides she's going to get to Trump, sit down with Trump, talk to him about the economic troubles. People are plainly concerned. And so she invites Trump to admit this time that certain prices are up. And she tries to get him to say, you've already been saying that some prices are up. And so let's talk about what you're doing about it. Here she goes.
But other things, as you noted, have gone up. Beef, coffee,
sure, but they're gonna come auto down very repairs. Shortly.
Is this a voter perception issue of the economy? Or is there more that needs to be done by Republicans on Capitol Hill? Or done in terms of policy?
More than anything else, it's a con job by the Democrats. They're saying, they just have to say, you know, they put out something, say today costs are up. They feed it to the anchors of ABC, CBS, and NBC, and a lot of other, and, you know, CNN, and et cetera. And it's like a standard. I'll never forget, they had used a word like manufactured. Do you remember the word manufactured? It's a manufactured economy. Nobody uses that word. Every anchor broke the manufactured. They do exactly what they say. It's such a rigged system. So are you ready? Costs are way down.
Okay, so again with the costs are down stuff, but he's adding now the media conspiracy. This is all something that people on TV, that CNN is telling you, not something you're really feeling. Correct me if I'm wrong, like, is the cost of everyday goods something that a politician can successfully to lie to the public about or tell them that they're being fed by the liberal media?
Didn't we all just live through this? Didn't we just live through what happens when prices go up? Like, there might be good reasons that prices are going up. Politicians might be able to, you know, explain those reasons. They might be able to say, hey, we're coming out of a once in a generation pandemic and, you know, supply lines are really snarled and we're all going to get through this. And by the way, wages are up too. But at a certain level, it doesn't matter. Like, when prices are spiking, like they did under Joe Biden and like they're continuing to do right now under Donald Trump, voters feel that pain. And I think that that is the real disconnect. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It's really kind of funny to see these anchors understand this, right? And they're trying to throw Trump a bone. They're trying to like set him up to speak to voters where they are, you know, not in a way where they are trying to like point at his policies, which they could very much do, by the way. One major reason prices are up for so many different goods is all these tariffs he's put on a bunch of different imports, right? But they're not doing that. They're just trying to give Trump the easiest possible opportunity to tell voters, you know, we feel your pain. We know it's hard out there. We're working on it. And, you know, maybe here's some things we're going to do about it. But he rejects the premise of the question. And this is actually what I wanted to ask you. And I'll just ask you now. I was going to do it after a couple more clips, but I'll just do it right now. I mean, what do you think is happening behind his eyes when he is when he's saying these things? Do you think that he is lying? Do you think that this is like a, like spin? Do you think this is a dodge? Do you think he thinks this is the best way to actually like politically triangulate for the fact that the economy is not doing well? Or do you think that this is truly his belief, that he is sort of incapable of grasping the broader picture of like seeing how things are out there on the street? And he's just sort of going around in this bizarre sort of like fantasy land where everything is great and the economy is humming along and, you know, America is, you know, wealthier than ever before and America is winning. What do you think is happening there?
So I'm a firm believer in the delusionality theory. It's unsatisfying to a lot of Trump's critics because they like to believe he's a liar. I think
he's a liar.
He's totally a liar. But like in our daily lives, when we experience lying, it's a normal person lying. It's somebody who like knows the difference between the lie and the truth. And that's why they lie. They know what the truth is, but they don't want to tell you. So they tell you. And Trump's just not like that. And these interviews are consistent with that. And all of his stuff about the 2020 election, similarly, this happens again and again, where somebody who's sympathetic to Trump, someone he should trust, sits down with him and says to him, in this case on camera, both of these cases on camera, you know, this actually is happening, you know, or like you lost the election or prices are actually up. And it just bounces right off him. So I can't answer your question about what goes on behind his mind, except that he's deflecting it. He's not even letting the reality enter. I mean, in this interview, Laura Ingraham says to him exactly what you said, Andrew. She's like, you know, by the way, Joe Biden said this, right?
Because you said did that too, because he was saying things were great.
Joe Biden tried to pretend that the economy was better, told people it's just vibes, you know, whatever, like actually the numbers are good. And like, he got his clock cleaned because it turns out like you can't deceive people about that. He just won't take the hint. And so he's spinning this conspiracy theory about the media, right? This is just fed to you by the media. And she then tries to circumvent that. Like, okay, how about if I talk to you about directly what polls are saying, where they talk to real people? Not, they're not talking to Caitlin Collins or Wolf Blitzer or whoever, Jake Tapper, right? They're like actually asking people. So she asks them about the polls. Here she goes.
And why are people saying they're anxious about the economy? Why are they saying that?
I don't know that they are saying. I think polls are fake. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. We have we will have over $20 trillion come into our economy, and it's largely because of my election, but it's also largely because of tariffs.
So the polls are fake. Like, the media fed this to you, but now we're going beyond the media fed this to you. We're going to, you're not even, you, the American public, are not even saying this. You don't even believe it. I didn't trust the election results. Those weren't real. And I don't believe these polls that are telling me that you're unhappy. I mean, this seems to me, Andrew, like a whole other level of delusionality.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you, by the way. I teed you up that question before, but I'm 100% on the same page with you here. We talk a lot about, and we think a lot about, like, the sort of fantasy world that Trump and MAGA create and their whole sort of infotainment media ecosystem creates for his audience, for his base, and that sort of, like, you know, just total alternate universe that these people live in, at, you know, in various ways and to varying degrees. I don't think we talk enough about, like, the way that Trump creates this own reality for himself, you know, and the people around him create this reality for himself, because I totally agree with you. I think he is actually convinced that, you know, we talk about the flashing sign, the flashing lights on the economic dashboards and things, that those are just totally cooked up. Those don't correspond to anything out there in reality. And therefore, he has nothing to worry about. He has nothing to triangulate for. He has nothing to, like, note. There's no, like, mass of sort of popular resentment building that he needs to accommodate and deal with in any way. I really think that he thinks that's all baloney.
So part of what kills me about his response there is, it's not just that he's denying the actual reality of the polling data or the consumer price index. It's that he's coming back at her with this stuff about, hey, you know, everything's great because $20 trillion is coming into our economy. Andrew, that's fake. That's, like, I don't want to say it's fake, but it's speculative. He goes overseas and a bunch of sheikhs tell him, yeah, you know, we're gonna put a lot of money in, you know, and, like, companies tell him, like, yeah, we're gonna invest this much in AI, right? And we've all seen the clip of Mark Zuckerberg, like, saying, I just threw a number out there. I just made up a number. I didn't know what you wanted to hear.
Sorry, I wasn't ready to do a big for announcement.
He said, I wasn't
sure what number you wanted to go with.
This is all speculative BS. And Trump is trying to say that's the real thing. And the economic indicators, the real thing, are somehow fake.
Right. And then obviously the other part of that he likes to talk about is the tariffs, which is, again, completely, like, incoherent, because the thing that people are complaining and worried about is prices going up. And what is one of the primary drivers for what's, you know, pushing up prices this year are Donald Trump's tariffs, which are additional import taxes on U.S. businesses, which are then pushed along in greater or smaller ways and increasingly in greater ways as these companies sort of resign themselves to the fact that these are semi-permanent tariffs. They pass them along to the consumer in the form of higher consumer prices. So yeah, it's just, I mean, like, you almost couldn't draw it up. You couldn't imagine, like, a scenario where, like, an interviewer asks the president of the United States, look, people are really worried about these higher prices. And the president comes back with, no, they're not. They're not worried. And the prices aren't higher. And the economy is doing great because of all the new taxes that I've installed. Right. I mean, it's just, it would strain credulity if it weren't happening right out there, right on our TV screens right now. All right. Well, what else? What else we got, Will?
Let me throw you one other, which is, what does MAGA think? All right. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, as a lot of folks know, has been out in public saying, you know what, especially after these elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and New York, she's like, look, this is a real thing. People are hurting. People, the prices have gone up, not down. People are having trouble making ends meet, affordability, and health insurance. She's talking about that, right? And so the reporters are trying to ask Trump, so what about this? You know, your MAGA base is suffering just along with everybody else. And so this happened earlier this week. Caitlin Collins is in the Oval Office in one of these sessions, and she asks Trump about what Marjorie Taylor Greene has been saying. Here she is.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a big ally of yours, said that she would rather see you focused on nonstop domestic policy meetings here at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. What's your response to her saying that, and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you've said?
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think.
Okay, so that happened in the Oval Office. And then on the same day, Trump is doing the interview with Laura Ingraham. And one of the questions she asks is about the MAGA base. And I should preface this by saying, Ingram's thinking here, she leads into this talking about MAGA doesn't want foreign students here, but it's a similar question about what does MAGA think? And Trump, in response, says this about what MAGA thinks.
And don't forget, MAGA was my idea. MAGA was nobody else's idea. I know what MAGA wants better than anybody else. And MAGA wants to see our country thrive.
So it sounds to me like this is what the French would call MAGA c'est moi, you know, they're like, whatever I say, since I invented MAGA, I speak for MAGA. And like, there seems to be this division between Trump and Green over whether to listen to MAGA or whether to just deny what MAGA is saying and impose the president's version of reality on them.
Yeah, I mean, this has worked for Donald Trump for a long time. You kind of understand why it is his go-to move. But I also sort of feel like, you know, he's like an 85-year-old rock star who's like out here playing the hits because that's like all he knows how to do, right? I mean, like, this has been his go-to move forever, is just sort of like impose my will, dominate, impose my vision of reality, just sort of speak it into existence and like let all the little people scramble around and figure out how to accommodate themselves to that, themselves to my view, themselves to my vision. And it's like I said, it's worked out for him very well. Like, you can understand why this is like his go-to move. It got him back to being president again the second time. It got him to be president the first time. He's reshaped the entire Republican Party in his image. But there are some cracks in his base and in the broader public as far as a few of these things are concerned. This is one of them. I mean, like, it's remarkable that you have other kind of like MAGA luminaries like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are, you know, just not willing to step on the actual facts about the economy, the actual facts about sort of people on the ground's feelings, like he plainly is. I mean, you could swerve over to a different topic and talk about the way that he has sort of commanded MAGA to stop caring about the Epstein files, you know, and that has, you know, backfired spectacularly in a lot of different ways. And I just wonder, I don't know myself whether this is an instance of him, his grip weakening on his base. I don't necessarily think that's true, but certainly his ability to just sort of like snap his fingers and impose a reality is not functioning the way we have often seen it function before. And even though that is frequently a great way of dealing with, you know, people in Congress who you could squish like a bug in their primaries if you chose to do so, or even the U.S. courts who you're sort of like constantly daring the Supreme Court to take too much of a stand against you and you know, like, well, don't go too crazy or I might spark a constitutional crisis, that kind of thing. Those have worked okay for him up until now. But like, we just had an election last week and that plainly didn't go so hot. You know, like it actually turns out that in these affordability focused elections, people were really kind of unhappy with what they've gotten from Trump this year. We've got a lot more of those elections coming a year from now. And I just keep coming back to the fact that like what Ingram and Bayer and all these people and even Marjorie Taylor Greene are like kind of trying to do is in the gentlest, kindest possible way to get through to the president and say, hey, look, this is something you actually have to address. We're not telling you how to address it. We're not even trying to like hurt you politically with these questions. We are just trying to get it through to you that you need to put some thought and some elbow grease into how you're going to change this before we get absolutely shellacked next year. And that's kind of the subtext. And yet, again and again and again, he just refuses to acknowledge any of these problems exist. He thinks that because he says MAGA should be happy because he's president again, MAGA should be happy because he's president again. And I just don't know. I just don't know, as these things continue to metastasize, as the economy continues to sort of teeter on various precipices, over the edge of various precipices, like if things continue to get worse in these ways, it's already not working now. How is it going to continue to work, you know, for a year, for three more years of this? I don't know. Will, do you have any closing thoughts for us as we go out here?
Yeah, I think you've sort of put your finger on it, which is people like you and me, and a lot of us, we've been watching Donald Trump for a while. I mean, we've been waiting for him to pay the price for like denying reality. And he keeps not paying it. As you say, he keeps getting away with it, right? I mean, the guy attempted a coup, got away with that. Literally every day now, he's lying about January 6th, about the 2020 election, and people around him don't even argue with it. So he lives in this bubble. He gets away with it. He's going to try to do it again with Epstein. I don't know if that'll work. But I feel like, Andrew, if ever it's going to fail, it should fail here. It should fail when what you're lying about, what you're deluded about, is like the everyday reality that people can feel, like something as simple as the price of groceries. My God, if the man can get away with lying to people, being deluded, spreading his delusions, just denying it, and if MAGA people will just be like, yeah, you know, maybe it's not that bad, then I would believe it. But I have to say, my gut says, Andrew, eventually reality intrudes. And if reality is going to intrude, this is the issue on which it's going to happen. And as you said, we got the first taste of that in the elections last week. And if it's true, we should see a much bigger taste of it in the midterms this coming year.
I think we can leave it there. We'll keep following it. Obviously, we'll be back to talk about the economy again and again and again. Hopefully things just turn out great. Hopefully the tariffs actually do start to work. And, we do actually enter a golden age and everybody is actually happy and Donald Trump is proven correct. I would not mind that in the slightest. I think prosperity is a good thing. I'm not 100% sure that's the road that we're headed down right now. So we'll keep following it. We'll be back to talk a lot more about it. Thanks, Will, for talking about it today. Thanks to all of you guys out there in TV land for listening, for watching, for sending us around, showing us to your friends, to your grandma, to your children. If you feel like it, I don't think we really cursed or swore too much. I feel like this one's fine. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. We'll see you all next time.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Serve is here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.